Welcome to Bitchin' Over Wine Podcast with your host who once read about the evils of drinking red wine and then decided it was better to give up reading. Please welcome the creator of the Savvy Bitch Lifestyle, Robin Eaton.
Guys, what's up? Robin Eaton here from Bitchin' Over Wine Podcast, built for potty mouths, not pussies. Welcome to episode number 13. Today's show and my guest is, it definitely changed my thought process and mindset on a big, huge issue that is coming into light and is becoming more and more recognized, and that is the transgender community, what that is, and how people that are dealing with their own identity and transgender issues, what they're doing to, I guess, deal with it and how it affects them, their life, their relationships, careers, etc., etc. But before I get into all that and introduce my guests, I just want to quickly talk to you about a really cool private membership that I've recently invested in. It's called Renaissance Travel Club. And what this is, it's a private membership where you get access to over 5,000 resorts and villas across the world. Is because when you go to a timeshare rental and you're taking those weeks from someone, or you're going to, you know, any of these booking sites where you're booking things on Expedia or where, Travelocity, wherever it is that you're finding them, these properties are priced by necessity. And so what happens is, you know, the properties are purchased from 18 to 40K, plus they have, if it's a timeshare, it's like an $850 a year annual fee, and then they can rent the properties out for $500 a day or a week, or I don't know how it works, but because I've never used a timeshare. But then they also have to pay to get the ad on a site so that it gets in front of people in order to recover their investment and get some sort of profit on top of that. So they have to pay to advertise for exposure as well. So like I said, the prices are jacked because they have to at least recoup their ad fees and then something on top of that for their investment. So Renaissance is able to basically cut all that out because members actually place their own properties in there as well. And we kind of use each other's resources. And that's why we can keep the prices down a lot cheaper. And so far it's been really, really great. And as my son's getting older, I'm going to be traveling a lot more with him. So I find it'll be a lot better and more useful the older he gets, because he's going to want to bring friends, of course. And, you know, I have family and friends that are probably going to want to travel with me too. Oh, yeah. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, I will just stick a link in the show notes on this page. If you're listening on iTunes or Google Play Store, you'll have to go to thesavvybitchlifestyle.com/podcast and go to episode 14 to check out that link. And I think that's about it for now. So now we're going to get to the good stuff, and we're going to talk to my guest today, who is Rachel. And Rachel is actually a male. And we use the name Rachel, and she will tell you why she chose that name. But the focus today is about transgender issues. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Rachel's experience as a crossdresser, and how she chose to come out was through a photo shoot that I helped with, and how and when she discovered her passion for crossdressing. And also, we're going to talk about what transgender actually really is. Fears about the unknown of coming out, and why support groups might not really be that great for somebody that, you know, wants to come out or is looking for people that are in the same situation and just wanting support. And then also the icebreaker challenge that she gave herself and how that ended up. And what cross-dressing actually does for her on the inside, how it makes her feel, and just where it kind of all started. We're going to take it back a little bit and talk about you know, when she first discovered that she really liked to wear women's clothing, and also what it felt like to wear makeup for the first time for this photo shoot. So without further ado, please welcome my guest on Bitchin' Over Wine podcast, Rachel. All right, so Rachel, welcome to Bitchin' Over Wine podcast.
Thanks for having me, Robin. It certainly is great to see you again.
I know. I remember when, well, I actually recognize you from years and years ago. I don't know whether it's when I worked at a bar in Orangeville or if it was just through passings, and, you know, we both worked in factory work for a long time. So, but when I saw your picture, when our mutual friend connected us, I immediately recognized you, and I was like, I know this guy. I feel like I've even talked to you. Maybe it was at TJ's. I'm not really entirely sure. Obviously, anyone who's listening right now can hear a male voice. And if they've read anything, you know, bullet points or have connected to this, we know that this is based on... Is it actually... Like, what do you consider this? Is this transgender?
I don't like the word transgendered. It's too... I find it's too original.
Okay.
Too widespread. Like, I like to be different. And this is the furthest thing from being a homosexual and or a gay. It's just, I've got such a strong desire and passion, lust for women. And I've always had that ever since I was my teenage years. And I came across cross-dressing. I researched it. I found it was something that I took interest in. Mm-hmm. And as I get older, it's just becoming that much more involved in my life.
It's important to you.
It's very important to me. And the reason why, in the beginning, when you and I first started talking, the reason why I asked for women specifically only was because... Growing up, I was always teased and tormented as a child going through school. And I found there are a few people that do know about this, and I found that the women are more accepting of the situation than the male population.
Specifically, probably more traditional males?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So... Mark, the photographer, he brought me into a comfort zone very quickly.
I knew he would.
And so did you. I mean,
yeah.
I was, by the end of that night, I was fantastic.
Good.
It was probably one of the best nights I've had ever in my life.
Oh, that makes me feel really good. I want to take it way back, and I want to take it back to the point where when you first discovered it. How old were you?
I'd say I was about 12, 13.
Okay. So I was very, very young. I've noticed that, you know, I have a cousin who is, he's very openly gay. But he's one of those people, and this kind of goes on to you as well. Unless he explicitly acknowledges it to you, it's just not something you would ever really know. So he doesn't fall into all those stereotypes. You don't fall into the stereotypes with the cross-dressing. So I just want to clarify, though, first, before we move forward. You don't consider yourself transgender, you just consider yourself a cross-dresser.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think the difference is between the two?
I'm not certain, but the way I look at it is that there's so much... widespread to the term... transgendered.
In what way, though?
It can be not sure of your sexuality. It could mean you're gay. It could mean you're homosexual.
So it's a blanket term.
Yeah, it's a blanket term.
See, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought transgender was myself and my own perception, and what I've seen is that you're basically the opposite sex of the body that you're in is kind of what I've always gotten from it.
Right.
You don't feel that way.
No. And okay. Unfortunately, one of the biggest stereotypes about this topic is the fact that people automatically think you're gay.
Right, but you're definitely not.
Definitely not.
You like the vajayjay.
and it's really, really...
Totally unprofessional. I'm sorry, guys.
It's really, really disappointing.
Yeah.
When people automatically jump to that conclusion.
So you think that if you were to express that side of you to a male, that they would just automatically assume those types of things?
Yes.
Okay. But you feel like females are a little bit more generous.
And accepting.
I personally feel that nowadays, because being gay and having all these gender equality things that are out there, I do find it is a little bit more widely accepted. However, I do still feel like there's a lot of sticks in the mud out there. And I've met a couple of people recently that are very traditional and brought up in that sense, where they can't really stretch their mind beyond the beliefs that they were always told were right, which is a real fucking shame. It really, really is. I grew up in a home that it was very much, you know, the dad went to work and the mom stayed home with the kids and the mom cooks dinner and, you know, and he was racist, my father, to a degree, even though he still loved Jimi Hendrix. He still was racist, and he told me, you know, if you ever bring a black guy home, whatnot. Like, and it was hard growing up in that environment for me because it was very judgmental, but I always saw beyond all that stuff. I just love people for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to have you on my podcast today was because I feel like the gender issue and the cross-dressing and all that kind of stuff, it's still, I mean, it's talked about, but maybe not as deeply as we're going to get into today. And I think it's important for anybody else that's listening that might be able to identify with this, they can take something from this. And that's sort of our mission today, don't you think?
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope this will benefit people who are curious or who are actually do this and they're too afraid to come about, so to speak.
Okay, so going back to 12-year-old Rachel, did you experiment back then?
Yeah.
With the stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, and it was very secret?
Nobody knew up until, I'd say, about 3 years ago.
Okay, so there's people that know about it right now.
Yes, there's about two or three okay. people.
And how have they treated you since?
They were very welcoming and very accepting of it.
Okay, let's take me and Michelle out of the equation. Because we're two people.
Right.
But outside of us, who, like, how many other people know?
Two.
And they're okay with it.
Yeah, they're very accepting, and they, they're supportive, and they love me.
Well, that's a good start, don't you think?
It is.
I think the problem you might be facing is, you know, you've been talking about coming out, basically, of hiding, of this thing that you love to do. Maybe it comes from shame. Maybe it comes from your fear of judgment. A lot of people are afraid to express themselves because of judgment. What's your fear with this?
Judgment, indeed.
Yeah. Okay. How do you think people are going to treat you?
Some would love me. Some wouldn't. Some would judge. Mm-hmm. It's more fear of getting rejected.
Okay. But as a person yourself right now, take that outside of it, do you experience that already?
Sometimes.
Okay.
See, like my whole life, like I said earlier, I've been teased, I've been bullied, I've been pushed around, and this is something so near and dear to me that mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to knock me down about this.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest fear.
Well, like it or not, it doesn't matter. I get knocked down all the time. Everybody gets knocked down for their shit. And I see negative stuff all the time about myself or whatever. I think that it just really takes a true champion to be able to understand that the comments and the things that are coming from other people, that's their shit. That's not yours. And you don't have to play into that kind of stuff.
No. But,
do you feel like it would affect your family and your career if people knew about it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
How?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Maybe that's the fear then. You just don't know.
It's the unknown. And like I mentioned to you earlier about being unemployed, at my age, it's the unknown is scary as hell.
I can relate to that because some days I don't know if I'm coming or going. And I mean, I'm not facing the same sort of challenges that you are, but I have my own set. And it's an age where you feel lost because you feel like you only have so much time to make yourself and be happy before all of a sudden you're growing old and somebody has to change your diapers.
See, the other thing is, Robin, I've had so much of my life change over the last few years, and this is all, it's very exciting. Mm-hmm. With the connections, it's very exciting with the connections that I've made with yourself, Mark and Lauren. So I definitely want to do that again.
Cool. It was fun. It was really fun to see.
It was fun. And I'm hoping to grow into this. Like I'm hoping to make connections with people, mm-hmm. with other people who do it. And I was talking with Michelle about like finding a support group, but she suggested not to because all that does is have a bunch of guys just pissing and moaning.
Well, you know what? She's right. And she actually brought this up when we were at the shoot, and I agree with her. And the reason why I agree with her is that support groups are great for making connections, but people are in a mindset where they just want to unleash all their negativity and not connect with people that are actually trying to make a difference in their own lives. Like, she is right. Like, sometimes yeah. support groups are a lot of, like, just, like you said, pissing and moaning and, oh, my life sucks and blah, 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 blah. And it's like that with divorce groups and single mom things or whatever. Like, I don't take part in any of that kind of stuff. You need to be, I feel like you need to be in an environment that lifts you up. But doing that is going to require some balls. You mentioned something about a cruise. Like, tell us about that.
For 12 years, well, not recently because I didn't get much vacation time at work, but for 12 years straight, I would take my ex-wife on a cruise for our anniversary, mm-hmm. and it's just fantastic. It really, really is fantastic, but right now, because of my money issues, I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to.
Well, sell everything you own. Just go. Just do it.
but see, the other thing is not knowing, because this is growing rapidly, like it's not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do. I went to Toronto one night all by myself, and it was scary as hell.
Yeah?
It was scary as hell. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know where to go.
You went dressed up?
Yes.
Okay.
In Toronto.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was good. But I didn't have the makeup or anything done because I have never done it before. Lauren was the first time.
Okay.
Well, she felt really honored.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really touched by that. So, yeah, it's just right now my question is where do I go? What do I do? Who do I do it with? Mm-hmm. So
I feel like I think going downtown Toronto was a really good step because it's almost like an icebreaker in yeah. a sense. I want to talk about your marriage and your relationship, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
How long were you married for?
We were married 7 years.
And you have?
Two children.
Yeah. Okay. So in that 7 years, was that something, did you share with her? Did she know right off the hop, or did it...
She has no idea.
Oh, she still has no idea.
No idea.
Wow, you're like the master of disguise.
See, that's the thing. Like, when we were married, like, this topic within myself was off and on. Like, there was months and months and even a year or so where I could just put it down. Mm-hmm. But then it would just pop back up again. Mm-hmm. Something that I wanted to do, so...
So she has no clue about it.
She has no idea.
And what about your children?
They have no idea.
They have no idea.
No. I'll fill them in later when they get old enough.
Yeah. And then close friends? Very, very close friends? Like male friends? Are they included in that group of
no,
people?
Two females.
Okay.
So.
When, 12 years old, when did you, so that's when you started, you experimented and did you actually put on women's clothing or did you just kind of, okay. And did you use wigs? You didn't do makeup. You said you haven't done makeup or anything like that.
No. It just started out with clothes and just wearing them at home.
Okay.
And then changing back into men's clothes or whatever. And then in my late 20s, I actually had the nerve to go out to different places.
Okay.
Very discreet. It's just having the feeling of being out.
Freedom.
Freedom.
In a sense.
Yes.
To express.
So, and then after my separation, this desire grew and grew and grew and grew. And that's when I confided in Michelle, and she said, she pretty much took the whole topic right out of my hands and handed it to you.
Okay.
which was fine. I mean, I greatly appreciate everything that everybody's done for me this far.
Mm-hmm. What is it about the women's clothing that, what does it do for you inside?
It makes me feel feminine. It gives me that sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? Comfort.
Okay.
I love feeling feminine. Because I have such, like I said to you before, I've had such passion and lust and desire for women. I just need that part of it.
Okay. I'm
to be a part of me.
Okay. I'm just like I'm trying to compartmentalize it because if you have a lust for women and a desire, whatnot, it's hard to understand why one would actually want to be in a position where they almost feel like a woman.
I know that's kind of hard to understand.
So that's something you don't really get either.
No, but that's how I feel.
Okay.
Like it's kind of maybe like a competition too. Like I wanted to see, okay, I've had this in my life, so I agreed to do the photo shoot and the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see how good I could, how.
Right.
I wanted to see how good I would come out and look.
Okay.
And I was quite impressed with the results.
Well, I haven't seen the final edits. I was there in the shoot, so that was really cool. It was a really nice, fun experience for me.
Sure was.
You mentioned that you're going to be nervous and afraid or whatnot, but I definitely feel like you came out of the shell. There wasn't too many issues.
No.
You seem to feel like at home with everyone and our team that we had there together. I think us being there with wine and Michelle helped.
Certainly does. And you know what? I've known Michelle for years and years and years, and we lost contact for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then she messaged me and just wanted to see how I was doing, and I told her. I just came right out with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She lived together, too, for a period of time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And she had,
she had no clue.
No.
Wow. No. It's amazing what we can do. It's almost like the foolery game.
Yeah. But you know what? I just got to the point. Like, I'm so up and down with it. I'm like, you know what? To hell with it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, no. And then I go, to hell with it. I'm going to do it. I'm up and down like a yo-yo.
In terms of moving forward, you talked about possibly trying to go on a cruise, which is it really, it's a, like, literally a cross-dressing cruise?
No.
Is it, what type of cruise is it?
Well, I've seen some people like myself on cruise ships.
Okay.
So they're accepting of it. There's not okay. There's no specific cruise for this topic.
Okay, so you just basically, your mission is you just want to be able to go out in public and feel free and like you're, I wouldn't say blending in, but that you don't have to worry about people looking at you and or making comments.
Yeah.
Throwing tomatoes.
And my other thing I like to do is I like to have the notion like that I make women jealous.
Oh.
That makes sense.
That's interesting.
Hey, I look better than you, or Oh. Not saying I'm better than them, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a competition, right?
Really?
I've always liked that little bit of a challenge. Okay.
Well, we might have to have a little dress competition then.
Well, you should see my walk-in closet.
We should go out together sometime.
Hey, that'd be fun. That's up to you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm totally down with that. I think that'd be awesome. So, again, moving forward, you might go on a cruise. How, like, in doing the photo shoot, you felt like you were able to express yourself and you're able to, I mean, we're not talking about coming out yet, per se, which is a weird term, but right. We're talking about, like, where do you want to go with this? What's the end game for you, do you think?
To have it part of my life. Like I don't do this 100% of my time.
Okay.
I like to have it. It's fun. I find it fun.
Okay.
And when I need to feel that femininity, I can get to that.
Okay. That makes sense. I feel that way about boxing. Okay.
You know what? I am famous for split personality. My personality is two different personalities. One feminine, one masculine.
Mm-hmm. But nobody really knows that because you basically have a double life.
Yeah.
In a sense, I can relate to that. My psychic even told me I basically lead a double life, and it's 100% true. I have my mom, regular person life, and then I have my modeling, acting life, and now I have this. Maybe I have three lives. I have a triple life. And now I'm, you know, building an internet empire is what I'd like to call it.
It's pretty cool.
Thank you. When you put on women's clothing, do you get, like, a rush of feelings or, you know, or at the end of it when you're dressed up, do you feel like a sense of satisfaction maybe?
Yes, definitely. It makes me, because I have such low self-esteem as well.
Okay.
When I do that, especially when it comes to lingerie, it makes me feel sexy. It makes me feel like a goddess. It makes me feel like I'm on top of the world.
Wow, I think maybe I should start wearing lingerie other than in my photos. Okay, so where do you think this, you know, you said that you were teased and bullied from a young child. There's lots of people that have been teased and bullied from a young child. There's a lot of people that want to feel sexy and accepted and loved and all this kind of stuff. They choose different ways to find that. So what about this specifically? Like, how do you think it evolved towards this? Like, was there...
What do you mean by this?
Well, you said that you love women, you embrace them, you're lusted by them and such. What was your family life like growing up? Is it related to that, per se?
No, I had a pretty good family life.
Okay.
There was no abuse whatsoever.
I wouldn't mean abuse. I don't mean it quite that way. I just mean that sometimes, and here's an example, my father was very, he wasn't my biological father, but he raised me from the time I was two. He's extremely closed off, not very affectionate. I was always vying for his affection and love, and I never, ever got it. And I find now that's what I am always doing in my own relationships and my situations is I'm constantly, like, reaching and grasping. You know, I don't know if it's daddy issue. It's a daddy issue, I guess. So you don't think that the cross-dressing came about because of any psychological things that you dealt with as a child? At all?
No, I wouldn't say.
No?
No, no. It's just something that grew into me.
Okay. Fair.
Pretty much right at the age of puberty, I guess you could say, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it went from here to, like, okay, bent the seat, and away we go.
Mm-hmm. I just find this very interesting, and I think that it's...
And it's grown so much more since I separated.
Why do you think that is?
Comfort, because I'm alone.
Do you think if you had a partner that it would change?
No.
Do you feel like if you had a partner, you would have to make them aware of it?
Absolutely. That's only fair. And that's the other part that I'm going to end up struggling with is who in their... I know it exists. I know people do accept it in their partners, but yeah, good luck. That's the other part that I struggle with as well.
Mm-hmm. You should go to Vegas.
I need a holiday bad.
Go to Vegas. If you're able to express anything, it's in Vegas. Nobody gives a shit. You just do your thing, go out, whatever,
and come home broke.
Well, yes, or when the sun comes up. Right. And or, actually, is the better way to phrase it. Okay, well, if you were to, say there's somebody listening right now mm-hmm. who is younger, your younger self, they're listening and, they've had questions or not concerns, but they're curious or it's something that they can relate to because it's something that they perhaps are going through themselves or maybe they have a loved one who is. What do you think your biggest acknowledgement or words of wisdom that you could pass on to somebody who's dealing with exactly what you're doing and going through right now?
So what you're pretty much asking me is how would somebody enter out into the world?
Going through all the emotions, like you're clearly emotional right now, your nerves are crazy, and you haven't even made a decision to whether or not you want to, like, basically come out to the world and say, like, this is what I do, this is what I do for fun, this is a passionate side of me. But somebody else that's feeling like they want to do the same thing, what do you wish that you were able to do that you can't right now? Or what advice would you have to that person that's sort of in the same position that you are right now?
Confide in somebody.
Yeah.
You need, with this topic, you definitely need to confide in somebody because for so long I kept it to myself. And then I finally told my best friend, who was female. And she was so accepting of it. And your whole perspective of the issue changes.
Okay.
Find somebody who you can confide in.
Did you feel like a really big release or a sense of...
Yes.
Like just contentment after you were able to do that? What made you decide to actually tell her?
Because I needed support.
You just need to... You can't do it alone.
I couldn't do it alone and I needed an ear. Mm-hmm. I needed somebody to be there for me, and she's been fabulous.
Well, you've opened up to a few people now, and you've had a pretty good success rate with acceptance and whatnot. Do you think that you would perhaps challenge telling a male friend anytime soon?
I don't know why, but it's just I have such fear of men when it comes to this issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I'm really surprised I let you talk. I'm surprised you talked me into letting Mark do the photography. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I clearly trusted you right off the hop, so it was good.
I knew you'd get the quality of the pictures, and I knew that your mission would be accomplished with the people that I recommended. Mm-hmm. And when I had searched out female photographers, there was one that I came across, but she doesn't shoot anymore, and she only does editing and photo retouching. And I was going to see if I could try to convince her, but I knew that Mark would... I knew he would be able to set you at ease, and I knew you would be fine with him, and that's why I pushed him.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with him for a really long time, and he's definitely one of my favorites in Toronto.
Yeah, I was comfortable as soon as I walked in the door. Mm-hmm.
Even though what happened to you before you got there.
let's talk about that for a minute, if you want. Let's talk about that. So yeah, it was a Saturday night when we had this photo shoot and makeup application set, and I was supposed to meet everybody at the studio for 6 p.m.
Which did not happen.
It was shortly after 7, and thank goodness everybody was still there. Problem was, is my phone died halfway to Toronto.
Rachel got lost.
And I had no battery on my phone. I forgot my charger at home, and I had a dead phone, so therefore I had no navigation. So I was all over Mississauga.
But you found us finally.
But I found us finally.
We already had two bottles of wine in. We missed out.
Yeah. That's so that was really, really nerve-wracking because the night of my life was about to happen, and there was a chance that it wasn't going to happen because I was afraid everybody was... Well, A, I wouldn't find it because it was really hard to find.
Yeah.
And B, I was afraid of everybody taking off, thinking I stood them up. And
we kind of were wondering about that.
And you know...
Did she get cold feet or what?
The worst feeling I had is, these people were so loving and accepting of this and helping me. I didn't want them thinking I stood them up. Because that's just wrong. Mm-hmm. I think I got cold feet, I would have called, but my phone was dead.
We actually figured that your phone was dead because the text messages that Michelle was sending you were not delivered. So we kind of figured it out, and that's when we decided to go downstairs to see if we could find you, and then you walked in.
Yeah.
So when you were getting your makeup done, what was that like for you? Because it was the first time you said that you ever had makeup done.
I thought I was going to be a nervous wreck. But Lauren made me feel so comfortable. I mean, we were talking about life. We were talking about what brought me to this. And I felt fantastic. And she actually said to me, she's like, I wish I could just spin the chair around. That way you can't see what I'm doing. And then when I'm done, just spin your back around and go, voila. Right?
The big reveal.
Yeah, but I'm glad she didn't because I got to see that transformation take place. And it was one of their fantastic experiences. It really was. And what I look like now and what I look like after that, it's just totally amazing.
Mm-hmm. No, she did a really fantastic job with the wigs. And you had some really good dress choices, too.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them. I actually, there's a couple of them. I'm like, I kind of want that one. Wonder if you'd notice.
Probably.
But you're very tall, too, so obviously you don't wear the same size.
It's a lot of fun. And as I said, I'm looking to do this again.
Do you feel, you know, as Rachel, do you feel like a different person almost?
Not really. It just brings me into my comfort zone, like I said. And it's not even I desire to want to be a woman. It's mm-hmm. just have the sensation of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of odd, I know.
I don't think it's odd. I think it's interesting, and people are, you know, would have a hard time under kind of grasping that. I mean, I do, I'll admit it. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just, for me, I try to understand where that thought process, or not really a thought process, because it's not in your head. It's just something that you're so driven and so drawn to, and that's where my curiosity comes from. That's what I want to know, you know.
Like I mentioned before, a lot of it has to do with being in competition with women, like
yeah.
wanting to look better than a nice looking woman, you okay. know. Yeah, a lot of it has to do with that.
That is very intriguing. So you have your makeup on, you put the wigs on after that. Or did you do the wigs last?
We did the wigs last.
Okay, so then you put your outfit on, and then you put the wig on. So when you looked at yourself in the mirror, like, how did you feel?
It was like night and day. Like I said, I thought I was going to be a nervous wreck, but Lauren made me feel so comfortable. And we finished up, and she made sure I was okay to go out. And mm-hmm. she says, are you ready? And I said, yeah, let's go. And I felt fantastic, like, it mm-hmm. just...
Yeah, you killed it. I gotta say, you killed it.
Yeah.
You put people like me out of business.
No way. You're too popular.
I wouldn't say that. Trust me. Well, I appreciate you joining me today.
I appreciate you having me.
If there's anything else that you feel like you need to say or you want to talk about, we can do that now. Otherwise, people can refer to the show notes and they can see just some highlights, and maybe Rachel will get brave one day to let me use one of her pictures from the photo shoot. I don't think that'll be anytime soon, but it might be in the future, and then you can see and put a face to the name, the beautiful name. And why did you choose Rachel? That's what I want to know.
Because I think it's sexy.
Yeah?
I got a thing with redheads and the name Rachel. I don't know why.
Okay.
I felt like Rachel and gingers, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
The name and the redhead idea, it goes well together, and it's just, I think it's so sexy. That's just me.
Cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
All right. Any last words for anybody listening?
If anybody is out there that's listening and is in the same boat as me and not sure where to go, I do, in fact, wish you all the luck in the world. And like I said before, find somebody you can confide in. That's key. That's the first step. And then you'll go from there.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Rachel. I really, really appreciate it. This has probably been one of my most deep and intense podcasts. And I think people are really going to enjoy this one.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Chat soon, buddy.
Awesome.
All right. Chat up. Yeah.
Once again, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode with Rachel. I hope you really enjoyed listening and you learned a thing or two. If you have any questions, please post them in the comments. And if it's something that I'm not sure about and need to ask Rachel, I will go ahead and do that and then post it, a reply to you. Also, feel free to make any other comments on the podcast as a whole or what you thought of the episode. I love feedback. I don't mind taking a little bit of constructive criticism as long as it, you know, just be nice about it, okay? Just be nice. My podcast, I like the fact that it's raw and it's real, and it from a technical standpoint, absolutely, it probably needs improvements, but I, you know, life's not perfect, and I don't think my podcast has to be perfect either, as long as it gets the point across of the goal of what I have in mind for each episode. And it's usually to inspire and educate people, and help people learn from mistakes, grow, build, and just connect to humans, other human beings. So with that said, I appreciate you. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for episode 14. Take care.